Well, the word of the day is love. I made it stand out here with one of our first scriptures that wasn't read. All of these are sort of based on lectionary scriptures, and some of them we share in worship, and others are just part of the scroll. But one thing I noticed, and maybe you noticed this too, about our scripture for today, even though the word for the day is love, the word love doesn't occur in the scripture. It's not in Luke's passage that Karen read. I don't think it's in the Magnificat that Mary goes on to sing. The kids are illuminating that part where Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's where we get the word Magnificat from. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The word love isn't there. There's a Hebrews passage. There's a Micah passage. What do you do when the word of the day is love and it doesn't show up in the scripture? What does a preacher do? Just put it there. Just make something up. Might be the way that I go. Or sometimes when you write the word love or you say the word love, you don't even give it as much power as in you just show the word love. Am I right? Yeah. I must have been in a mood. I don't know why when I wrote the title for the sermon. What's the title of today's sermon? Chick flick, Christmas. I'll tell you one thing that happened is I came home and Lynn was watching Love Actually. You guys seen that movie? Is that a chick flick? It depends on your definition of chick flick. And am I using that word in a derogatory way? No, I don't think I am. I might have had a little bit of that attitude. But I really think a chick flick is a decent thing. Love Actually is a romantic comedy, right? I had an issue with that movie when it first came out. I think I watched it, and I was probably going through my second divorce, and I wasn't feeling very love, actually. And it just kind of, that movie just kind of, I literally felt the pain in my chest and my body of watching other people fall in love. You know, it was a kind of like, the people who don't feel love and joy this time of year. I was there that time when I first saw that movie. But I really like this movie. It's really, it's fun. There's a lot of coming together in that movie. It's a chick flick. It's about love and it's about romance and it's altruistic love and it's romantic love and it's good stuff. Most chick flicks are, right? I saw another chick flick movie this weekend, the new Star Wars movie. If by chick flick you mean there are really powerful women, strong women characters in this movie, and I hope not to have any spoilers. I'll give you a spoiler alert. Everybody dies in the end. Sorry. That's not entirely true. Everybody either dies or kills somebody. It's one of my issues I walk away with this movie with is it may take place in a galaxy far, far away and a long, long time ago, but it's the same old story. Kill or be killed. Even if it's infused with this sort of ancient religious brotherhood, sisterhood, we might even say, of the ancient Jedi, and there's talk of this life force that moves through everything, basically you use that to kill your enemies. So I have a little bit of an issue with that. Why am I talking about this? Well, I'm looking at our script, and there's just a lot of here, and my whole sort of draw to this is the prologue to John's gospel as a sort of counterbalance, or just one of the ways that the Christmas narrative is told. It's very different than the narratives where you have a baby in a manger and you have angels and you have shepherds. And John, it's very poetic. It's poetry at its best. And he says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It says it right down there. Derek's illuminating that part, aren't you? The Word was God. Who, me? The Word was God. And what happens in our Christmas narrative as we tell this old, old story, as we are trying to figure out, again, 2,000 years after the fact, how to bring love into the world in our flesh and bones and blood, with our action, our offerings, our gifts, the way we live. Annie Dillard writes about, she writes about writing, the writer's life. And she says this, she has a couple interesting things that really struck me as I was thinking about the word love becoming flesh. She says, the written word is weak. The written word is weak. Many people prefer life to it. That's a hard realization, I think, for a writer to come to, right? That the written word is weak, that people prefer life. Life gets your blood going. It smells good. Writing is mere writing. Writing is mere. I like that. And then she tells this interesting story. An intriguing entomological experiment shows that a male butterfly will ignore a living female butterfly of his own species in favor of a painted cardboard one. Now, don't think this is just all about men, but it might be, I don't know. Male butterflies will ignore a living female butterfly of his own species in favor of a painted cardboard one, especially if the cardboard one is big. Go ahead, make your jump, your conclusions about that. If the cardboard one is bigger than he is, bigger than any female butterfly could ever be, he jumps on the piece of cardboard over and over again. He jumps the piece of cardboard. Nearby, the real living female butterfly opens and closes her wings in vain. I don't know what that means. She's going to go on and wax eloquently about it. It is food for thought. And I'm thinking about the word became flesh and lived among us. The cardboard became real. The cardboard word became real. Right? Think of the thousands of years of prophets and teachers and patriarchs and matriarchs, the people of faith that came before Jesus, tried to bring the law to life. And we constantly preferred the paper, the cardboard. Show it to me in writing. Give me a checkbox. What am I supposed to do? Well, the cardboard became real. And John's prologue goes on to say, and we preferred the cardboard. We even still prefer the cardboard. I still want a checklist. I still want a list of things I'm supposed to do or not do, right? What is church for me? Well, it's a list of do's and don'ts, or maybe it's a being in the right group, or maybe it's just avoiding certain behaviors. But really, the word became flesh. The cardboard became real. Or more importantly, maybe a better thing to say is the cardboard was left on the shelf, and the real thing just kind of shows up in our life. So the love that is our word for today sort of shines through all of the other words, right? It's the ground of our being. It's the real thing. So, and that's, I guess that's why I sort of had a thing about the whole romantic comedy thing, is that it's inspiring. You know, romantic comedies, they pull on your heartstrings. They will make you cry. Even grown men will cry. So sometimes I feel manipulated. But the real gift of love is the one that really pulls from deep within. It's not a manipulated love. It comes from deep within. And that's what I think we celebrate at Christmas. And that's the love that I think we name today. When we light this candle, when we take this offering, when we feast on the word and the kids give us more illumination there, thank you very much for that. Because the word on paper is beautiful, it's pretty, it can engage us, but the word made flesh is what changes our lives from the inside out. Thanks be to God.